Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secret is Prayer podcast. And we're going to go ahead and jump in and continue our lessons on Genesis or teachings on Genesis.
Okay, thank you, Jesus, for bringing us together here today. Thank you for your word. Give us the wisdom that we need to understand what we need to learn from your scripture. So be in our minds and on our lips and in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Okay, so we're now on chapter 29. Jacob meets Rachel. So remember, Jacob had to leave because him and Esau, remember he takes Esau's inheritance from him by tricking his their father, because their father was blind. And so he robs Esau. Not only had he robbed them of his birthright, but now of his inheritance. So then Rebecca tells him to leave because Esau starts saying that he wants to kill him over it. So Rebecca tells him to flee. So Jacob leaves and he flees to Rebecca's family, her brother. And just remember that with Abraham and with Isaac, how God had told them not to leave that land. Remember that he sent, even when he sent look searching for a wife for Isaac, Abraham sent his servant. He didn't send Isaac to go look for it. Yeah, he's like, no, for him not to leave this land and go back to where they were from. And here Rebecca is sending Jacob to go back to her brother. So Jacob leaves, and then Jacob has a dream of the stairway, which, you know, I think it is the Jacob's ladder that we've heard, and it's the angels coming and going. So
real quick, do you think when she sends Jacob, do you think right there it's kind of starting off disobedient, since Isaac was supposed to stay?
Yes, I think that it's already, you're already kind of you're drifting, right? You're strained already, because you would hope that everything that Abraham knew, that it would be passed to Isaac, and that Isaac would pass it down to his family. But remember, Isaac and Rebecca with the twins, they were already you know,
fighting in the womb,
and still they had their favorite. So that so all the drama is already starting, okay. Right? So we already see where it's, they're getting away from God instead of coming to God for everything. Him. Yeah.
So
Jacob meets Rachel. So Jacob resumed his journey and went to the eastern country. I remember that eastern, whenever east represented not good. So they went to the eastern country. He looked and saw a well in a field. Three flocks of sheep were lying there beside it, because the sheep were watered from this well. But a large stone covered the opening of the well. The shepherds would roll the stones from the opening of the well and water the sheep when all the flocks were gathered there. Then they would return the stone to its place over the well's opening. So he finds a well, and there's a stone covering the opening. And this is where everyone would take their sheep to water the sheep, to give water to the sheep. But there was a big stone covering it. And so then Jacob's there. And then he asked the men at the well, "My brothers, where are you from?" And they say, "From Haran. And he says, "Do you know Laban, grandson of Nahor?" And they answered, "We know him." And then Jacob asks, "He will?" "Yes," they said. "And here is his daughter Rachel coming with his sheep." So Rachel was a shepherdess. It describes her as a shepherdess. So she walks up with the sheep. And now Jacob knows that he's in the right place, that he's reached his destination, because he's now with his people, right? So as soon as Jacob saw his uncle Laban's daughter, Rachel, with his sheep, he went up and rolled a stone from the opening and watered his uncle's sheep. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and wept loudly. He told Rachel that he was her father's relative, Rebecca's son. She ran and told her father. So then when Laban Rachel's father hears that Jacob is there, then he runs to Jacob and hugs him, and like they're happy to see him, and right away they take him in, right? And remember, right. They know that who Jacob is. They know he comes from
Abraham,
yeah, and that he's doing inheritance, you know, that they're wealthy and that God is with them. So they know this already. So they accept him, they take him in. He's like royalty, right?
Right.
So now Laban had two daughters. The older was named Leah and the younger was named Rachel. Leah had tender eyes, but Rachel was shapely and beautiful. Jacob loved Rachel, so he answered Laban, I will work for you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. So Laban replied, better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay with me. So Jacob worked 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed like only a few days to him because he loved her. Then Jacob said to Laban, since my time is complete, give me my wife so that I can sleep with her. So Laban invited all the men of the place and sponsored a feast. That evening, Laban took his daughter Leah, not Rachel, right, and gave her to Jacob, and he slept with her. And Laban gave his slave Zilpah to his mm-hmm. daughter Leah as her slave. So Jacob wants Rachel, right? That he saw Rachel at the well. He fell in love with Rachel. He loves Rachel. He tells Laban, let me have your daughter, Rachel. I'll work with you 7 years to, you know, for your daughter.
For yeah. Dedication. Yeah.
Yes. So Laban agrees, right? He says, okay. So then after the 7 years, you know, Jacob's like, okay, I want my wife. I want your daughter, Rachel. So Laban has a big party, but in the party, he somehow deceives Jacob and sends his daughter Leah instead. And Jacob, we don't know why or how he doesn't know, simply because she was wearing a veil, or was he drunk, or what? We don't have the details, but he thinks it's Rachel and he ends up sleeping with her. So when morning came, there was Leah. So he said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? Wasn't it for Rachel that I have worked for you? Why have you deceived me? So what do you think? Like, when you hear this story, what do you think?
Man, payback for Jacob.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. Exactly. You know, exactly. It's like,
really, you're going to sit there and be shocked after what you did to your brother?
After he deceived his brother, right? So it's
the consequences. So it's, we were just talking about that.
The consequences. Yep. So he karma, right? He deceived his brother the same way, you know, his dad was blind, and he deceived his dad pretending to be Esau and took the blessing from Esau. And now here he is deceived by his uncle, and he gets the wrong daughter for marriage.
Yeah.
So you would think that here he would realize, okay, my uncle deceived me. He gave me the wrong daughter. You would think he would get her and leave, you know, because it's here we are 7 years in.
Right.
You would think that he would get her and leave. And remember, Jacob sees Rachel. He falls in love. I love her. I want her. Da, da, da. Never does he talk to God and ask God, you know, help me find a good wife, or you know, bless me with a good wife. Or show me, what wife, in the same way that we saw with Abraham and with Isaac, you know, there's none of that here.
His mom guided him.
Yes. And wrongfully, you know, because she told him to leave and go to my uncle, you know. So already we see that things aren't going well for Jacob.
Right.
So Laban answered, it is not the custom in this place to give the younger daughter in marriage before their firstborn. Okay, I'm sure he didn't just learn that. He knew that from the beginning. Laban, Laban is just, you know, making excuses or trying to justify what he did.
If he knew what Jacob did to his brother.
You know? Oh, well, I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, I don't think I think that it was just Laban being Laban. And I think God was using the situation to teach Jacob a lesson. And unfortunately, it's the only way he was going to learn it, you know, and that's what's sad, that when we don't, you know, don't think that you're going to get away with anything no. that because God sees all, you know, he
but
sees
the bigger
all.
Picture would be he needed Leah in that picture, like he needed Leah for
yes.
the line of Jesus.
Well,
so
because he picked Rachel.
Right
out of the flesh, he was by her because of her looks. You know, it says right there that Leah had the tender eyes and Rachel had the shapely, and she was beautiful. So, I mean, right away off the bat, you see that he picked her because she was beautiful. You know, he didn't really know, and that's right. the thing that you can't go off a looks. You know, and why it's important right. to I think why it's important to ask God. You know right. who's your, you know, to bring you the person that he wants for you, because he knows their hearts and we don't, right. you know, there's no way we would know that, you know, and the only one that knows it is God. And if you go off of looks, then, you know, you might end up with, right. With the Rachel. So she might be beautiful outside, but as we were going to learn later, she wasn't beautiful inside.
No, she was not.
So then he asked, he's like, well, I want Rachel. I worked 7 years for Rachel, not for Leah. So then Laban, the uncle, tells them, complete this week of wedding celebration, and we will also give you the younger one in return for working yet another 7 years for me. So I think here Laban knew that, you know, that it helped them to have Jacob there and working. And not only that, we know that he knew that Jacob was, you know, wealthy and all that stuff, right. and that he had God. So Laban's using him, I think, you know, and he tells, so he now has him for another 7 years and for the second daughter. But here we already see, because we know that in early Genesis that God has said one man and one woman. So already right. here, you know, it's
he's messing up.
So and Jacob did just that. He finished a week of celebration, and Laban gave him his daughter Rachel as his wife. And Laban gave his slave Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her slave. Jacob slept with Rachel also, and indeed he loved Rachel more than Leah. And he worked with Laban for another 7 years. So poor Leah, right?
Right,
because Jacob didn't love her, he loved Rachel, and I'm thinking she probably knew she probably saw it as when her dad maybe told her, like, hey, go with Jacob, she was probably like, okay.
Right.
You know, why not, when Jacob is wealthy and all that stuff, you know. But I mean, back then you had to do what your father told you. She probably didn't have any right. say so either, you know. But for her, I think it was probably a good move for her to get, you know, to marry Jacob. But unfortunately, it included Rachel too.
And she wasn't first choice, you know?
Yeah, maybe. She wasn't first choice.
Yeah.
And I was thinking here, had Jacob just accepted Leah and left, you know, had things have been different, right. But no, he had his eyes set on Rachel. So then he slept with both of them. He's married to both. He slept with both of them. So then when the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was unable to conceive. So here we see again how God is in control, you know, even of our womb, you know, and how children are a blessing from God. So right. Leah conceived, gave birth to a son, and named him Reuben. For she said, the Lord has seen my affliction. Surely my husband will love me now. So Leah is able to conceive. She has a son, and she's, you know, hoping that the Lord has seen, you know, the trouble that she has because her husband doesn't love her, and that her husband will love her now. And then she conceived again, gave birth to another son. And then she says, the Lord heard that I am unloved. So she's still unloved, has given me this son also. So she named him Simon. And then she conceives again, gave birth to another son, and said, at last, my husband will become attached to me because I have borne three sons for him. Therefore, he was named Levi. And she conceived again, gave birth to a son, and said, "This time I will praise the Lord." Therefore, she named him Judah. Then Leah stopped having children. So not until the fourth son does Leah say, "Therefore, this time I will praise the Lord." You know, on the other ones, it was all Jacob will love me.
For him.
Right. And on the fourth one, she finally says, you know, "This time I will praise the Lord." Therefore, she named him Judah. So here, I was thinking too how God helped Leah. You know how God, when her husband couldn't love her, God loved her and sent her sons, you know?
Right. But she missed that. You know,
she missed that. Yeah.
Times, you know? Yeah. We do that too.
Yep. Yeah, we do, because we don't. I thought, and how so early in the Bible, God is showing us how, hey, even when your husband can't be there, I'm there. You know, I'm going to love you. I'm going to provide for you, because she was being provided for. So it wasn't like she wasn't being provided for, you know?
Right.
So even though she didn't have Jacob, God was there for her. And she had, and we see that from her sons will come two of the tribes, Levi and the priest. And then Judah.
You know, I wish that we would get to see why he chose to stop each woman, like, from having babies, you know, because it's almost like he closed the womb, he reopened, he closes. So I wonder, I wish we would have gotten a little more detail there, but we don't.
Well, you know? I think, like, for me, that because this is the first time reading me dissecting Genesis, how much he is involved in even that and conceiving babies, you know, like how much like that he's in every detail of a marriage. I think, you know, from that's what I'm learning from this, how God is so, like, if you think, because, you know, when you get married young, I wasn't thinking about this, you know, I wasn't thinking about I don't remember asking God, you know, show me who to marry or to bless me with my children. I mean, I was blessed with my children, but how he controls all of that, you know, like how he is in all of that, because he closed Rachel's room, but he opened Leah's, you know, and what we saw, what he did with Sarah and even Rebecca, right?
Rebecca, yes. Yep.
So, so there's a lot there, you know, and then I wonder, was Leah meant for Jacob? You know, he would have had Leah and then had the four boys, you know, had he left with Leah, you know, like left right after he married Leah, or even seek God for guidance and then just left and, you know, take Leah. And so I wonder how, if he would have asked God, if God would have picked Leah for him and not Rachel. And then he wouldn't even have considered Rachel, you know?
Right. Right.
He would have went looking for Leah.
I guess because now we kind of know how things get set in motion. If Rachel was really meant for him, then the dad wouldn't deceived him. You know what I mean? It's almost like the person who was meant to be will find.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
Yeah. Way, there you go. Yeah, right. Like nothing's gonna mess up God's plan. Yeah.
So that right there is a perfect example. When people say, "Don't think somebody else is gonna keep you from your blessing or your role," you know, your purpose, I should say.
Right, right.
But if you try to take control, then you're creating consequences. Because
like we're going to see here. That's exactly what happened. It's going to happen here. So,
well, he takes after his mom.
Yeah. No, for sure. Because you would think, you know, because say he would have asked God, like who, you know, and in the same way that servant asked, you know, let it be clear that that it's a person who does this, this, and this, so that I get the right person that you meant for me to have.
Exactly.
You know, then he would have gone in, gotten Leah, and got out. But no, instead he sees, you know, he doesn't consult God, and then he goes and he sees Rachel, you know, and then he falls in love with her, but because of her looks, you know.
But you know,
and then he still got Leah, but now he has Leah and Rachel, and then we're gonna read how that doesn't work either.
Well, okay, yeah, then I'll wait to say what I want to say. appropriate.
Okay, so then now Leah has four sons, and now we're going to the next chapter. When Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she envied her sister. So here we go. She envied her sister. Give me sons or I will die. So that tells me, hey, she's hating life. You know, right. Give me children. Right. She's telling Jacob, give me children or I will die. She's hating her sister already. She envies her sister because right. She already had four sons. And so she's depressed. You know, she wants to die. So she right. tells Jacob, give me a son or I will die. Jacob became angry with Rachel and said, am I in God's place who has withheld offspring from you? So he points out, he makes it clear, it is God who's keeping your children, you know, closing your womb.
Time. Right. Yeah. But this is the first time he said something like that. You
exactly.
know?
So it's kind of like Jake, when it's convenient, he talks about God. So it's not that he doesn't right. know. So exactly. he knows, but so
maybe because he didn't like her tone.
Well, and can you imagine? I'm sure she's on him. You know, I'm sure she's right. on him. The honeymoon right. phase is over, and I'm sure she's, you know.
Well, and he's got his sons from the first marriage.
From the first one, right.
So he's eater. He got what he wanted.
Exactly. Exactly.
Very true. Very true.
So then she said, here is my maid, Bilhah. And it's like, no. So here we go, you know. And we saw that where Sarah made that mistake earlier before. So she gets yes. so desperate that she's like, well, have my maid, like as a, but kind of like a surrogate, but not really, because he's having a baby yeah. with her, with not her. With, mm-hmm. yeah, not with Rachel. So
yeah, they're not putting her eggs in there. So
exactly.
It's
not right. No. Right. And, like and it's not some, yeah. And he has to sleep with her. He has to actually go and sleep with her to make a baby.
So see, no taking down the line.
No.
Well, and he could have refused too, you know. So there he could have refused. The consequences too for himself.
That's right. Yep.
And it's just, man. Okay. So then he sleeps with her slave or with her maid, I'm sorry. So that through her, Rachel can build a family. So he goes and he sleeps with her. So and then she conceives and bore Jacob a son. Rachel said, God has vindicated me. Yes, he has heard me and given me a son. So she named him Dan. Which I thought it was a weird name, Dan. Out of nowhere, Dan.
Dan in the Bible.
Well, you know, there's one thing about the Bible is their names are not consistent. Because some of them you have like Isaac, Jacob, and then you have Naphtali. Or like the harder ones. And it's like, wow.
Then out of nowhere is Dan. So so she has Dan and she's like, God has heard me, you know, God has vindicated me. So then Rachel's slave Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. So now we have Jacob sleeping with Leah, sleeping with Rachel, and sleeping with Bilhah, the maid.
Right.
So Rachel said, In my wrestlings with God, I have wrestled with my sister and won. So you see here how there's a competition going on. She's fighting with her sister. She envies her sister and that it's a game. Exactly. Yep. And she named him Naphtali.
And so right there should just right away show us her heart.
Exactly.
It's not in the right place, I should say.
Nope. So when Leah saw that she had stopped having children, she took her slave Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. And it's like, really, Leah, you have four boys. God has blessed you with four boys, but it's a competition now. So now Leah, you know, so it's.
Well, and I think Leah's still in the mind frame of, if I keep having these children, I will earn the love of my husband, you know? Yeah.
Yep.
Which again, that's the wrong way to look at it.
Yep. No, I think the both of their hearts are in the wrong place.
Most definitely.
And so Leah's slave. So now Jacob is sleeping with Leah, her maid, Rachel, and her maid. And so now the Leah's maid bore a son. And Leah's like, what a good fortune. And she named him Gad. When Leah's slave Zilpah bore Jacob a second son, Leah said, I am happy that the women call me happy. So she named him Asher. So Reuben went out during the wheat harvest and found some mandrakes in the field. When he brought them to his mother Leah, Rachel asked, please give me some of your son's mandrakes. But Leah replied to her, isn't it enough that you have taken my husband? So, you know, so I just think like, wow, how sad. All those years and here they are fighting over. They're not at peace. No, it doesn't sound like any of them are at peace.
No.
So now you also want to take my son's mandrakes. I'm not sure what mandrakes are.
I think it's like a fruit.
Oh, yeah, they were fruits. Tony says they were fruits. Believed to help women conceive.
It almost is almost like the same story as Issa, you know, please feed me because if not, I'm going to die, you know? And so,
oh, Rachel's right. Like, well, they're giving into their flesh, right? You see here that God is not, it's not their priority, you know, and that here they're reacting to their flesh. There's envy, there's, you know, there's a lot of envy and they're being, oh, they're all being very selfish. And so it just goes to show like where things are just from bad to worse. And this is years, you know, because remember he married. He's already been there, what, 14? This is 14 years or more later, maybe?
21 years, because remember he stayed another 7. So this is already over 20 years.
So can you imagine what that household was like and the scheming and all the stuff that was going on behind it? And really none of them had Jacob.
No.
Right?
Nope.
So so when Jacob came in from the field that evening, Leah went out to meet him. Because then Rachel asked for the mandrakes to help her conceive. And she tells him, if you give me the mandrakes, then you can sleep with Jacob. So when Jacob came in from the field that evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, you must come with me, for I have hired you with my son's mandrakes. So they have Jacob like a sex slave. So Jacob slept with her that night. And God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a 5th son. Leah said, God has rewarded me for giving my slave to my husband. And she named him Issachar. That sounds better. Then Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a 6th son. God has given me a good gift, Leah said. This time my husband will honor me because I have borne 6 sons for him. And she named him Zebulun. Mm-hmm. Later, Leah bore a daughter and named her Dinah. So 6 sons and a daughter, Dinah. Then God remembered Rachel. He listened to her and opened her womb. So after all this time, you know, God opens her womb. She conceived and bore a son, and she said, God has taken away my disgrace. She named him Joseph and said, may the Lord add another son to me. So after Rachel
just
gave
that one chapter.
And just, it's crazy because I'm like, I can't imagine what all those years were like, you know?
Right, right. And like, imagine the web that has been spun. Remember we talked about the tangled.
Yes. Web. And we thought that things were very tangled now, you know, because you think, well, Jacob has all these wives. He was allowed to have all these wives at the same time. But in we see that now. It might not be at the same time, you know, but it's one by one. And they're making the same mistakes by taking wife after wife after wife.
Right.
So Jacob's flocks multiply. After Rachel gave birth to Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, send me on my way so that I can return to my homeland. Give me my wives and my children that I have worked for and let me go. You know how hard I have worked for you. But Laban said to him, if I have found favor with you, stay. I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. So Laban sees that things are going great for Laban because, you know, he wed his 2 daughters off to Jacob. You know, Jacob is blessed by the Lord. And so Laban sees that. So Jacob said to him, "You know how I have served you and how your herds have fared with me. For you had very little before I came, but now your wealth has increased. The Lord has blessed you because of me. And now when will I also do something for my own family?" Laban asked, "What should I give you?" And Jacob said, "You don't need to give me anything. If you do this one thing for me, I will continue to shepherd and keep your flock. Let me go through all your sheep today and remove every sheep that is speckled or spotted, every dark-colored sheep among the lambs, and the spotted and speckled among the female goats." So that gets, I mean, that I read this and it was a little confusing about the speckle.
Yeah, I was confused too.
But somehow, you know, they're having to split the flock. And then Laban tries to I think, outsmart
Jacob.
But, you know, God is looking out for Jacob. God is looking out for Jacob. And no matter how Laban tries to cheat Jacob, Jacob keeps coming out with the better hand, you know. And right. So I like what Tony says about it, because Jacob goes and he also does, he goes and he took branches from a fresh poplar, almond, and plain wood, and peeled the bark, exposing white stripes on the branches. And he set the peeled branches in the troughs in front of the sheep, in the water channels where the sheep came to drink, and the sheep bred when they came to drink. The flock spread in front of the branches and bore streaked, speckled, and spotted young. Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face the streaked sheep and the completely dark sheep in Laban's flocks. Then he set his own stock apart and didn't put them with Laban's sheep. So whenever the stronger of the flock were breeding, Jacob placed the branches in the troughs in full view of the flocks, and they would breed in front of the branches. So here Jacob is doing something that, you know, probably didn't really, we don't know where he learned it, but it's helping his flock, right?
Right.
And so I like what Tony says here. No husbandry manual teaches that animals that breed in the sight of peeled branches produce speckled offspring. God was supernaturally guiding this breeding program. In the end, the weak sheep belonged to Laban and the stronger ones to Jacob. It doesn't matter how good a deal seems in human terms, the man on whose side God stands for will get the better deal. And I totally believe that, you know, I totally believe that. So God was obviously on Jacob's side. And so no matter what Laban was trying to do to cheat, and here we are like all these years and he's still trying to cheat Jacob, you know, and Jacob is still there. And we see here that Jacob is working very, very hard. You know, he's been very loyal to Laban. He's been working really hard, you know,
right
there for him and to keep his daughter. He's made him rich. So,
but you know, even with that, Jacob could have easily took Rachel, but like you promised me that, like he could have just took the two sisters and left.
And left, and he doesn't. He stays there. Stays. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I think that what we can take from that is that even though Jacob was in the wrong, you know, by being there, you know, he was working really hard and God was seeing that, you know, God was seeing that he was working really hard and he was still helping Jacob, even though that he wasn't where he was supposed to be. God didn't abandon him. And we saw that with Abraham over and over too, you know, and so. Just think of how much easier it would be if we weren't in the wrong.
Yes.
And still had God.
Right.
You know? Right. So it's a detour, right? Like we kept saying detours. And here we are all these years later. And it's like, so.
I know.
So finally, Jacob decides to separate from Laban. Finally, you know. So all those years of hard labor, you know, and an unpeaceful home. I think the commentaries that I were reading were mostly that it took all of that to get Jacob to finally return to God. Because if you go back to where God appeared to Jacob, God had told him, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your offspring the land on which you are lying. Your offspring will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out towards the west, the east, the north, and the south. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. Look, I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go. So wherever you go, I will watch over you. But then the next sentence says, I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. So remember, the promise was in the promised land. So,
right.
So, you know, all along, God tells them, I'm going to bring you back to my land. So, but it takes all this strife to get Jacob to finally decide to go back. And it's like,
and then the thing we need to see too is it's not an overnight thing either. It could be a week, a month, 20 years.
Yes. So now we're here. It's like, man, so I guess 20 something years isn't. Like they, you know, like, gosh,
yeah.
You know?
Well, because I think there is, I don't know where I seen it, but they were saying like Moses waited 40 years. Joseph had to wait like 12 years. Mm-hmm. Like all of these men here.
Well, David, 13 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
and I like Tony says too, you know, God's preparing them for the promise, you know, so.
Right.
So Jacob is learning in all of this, I would hope, you know, because he got deceived and he's, you know, seeing how he needs to finally return and having the both wives and all the, you know, all that was going on. So sometimes it's, I guess, for us to learn too. And unfortunately, we were hard-headed and we have to learn the hard way.
And I think this, like you said, Nina, the consequences, you know,
mm-hmm.
He deceived his brother right in the womb, grabbing his heel. So in a way, he has to go through his own trial. Right. And so here we go with all these issues. And what big issue is there? Really? You got the two wives. Always.
Yeah.
So there was no peace there. Like you said,
not even the two wives, but those extra ones that were producing.
The mates. And, you know, and what's the point of having all that stuff, all those riches and all those things, if you don't have a peaceful home, you know?
Exactly.
When do you get to enjoy the fruits of your labor when you can't have a peaceful home?
A peaceful home, exactly. So it kind of sees now that everybody's happy, they have kids. Now the father-in-law's bringing him like just
still
all this hassle too.
Mm.
So most definitely.
Well, the father-in-law was never looking out for him. He was always scheming, you know? So, and Jacob here has had a pretty hard life because he's been working really hard. It's not like he was just sitting back relaxing. He was actually like working really, really hard. So, 31, Jacob separates from Laban. So now Jacob heard that Laban's sons were saying, Jacob has taken all that was our father's and has built wealth from what belonged to our father. So here you go. Now Laban's sons are talking, you know, mess saying, that Jacob is taking all that was their father's, which is not true.
Right.
You know, everything his father has, or a majority of what his father has is because of Jacob.
Right.
And Jacob saw from Laban's face that his attitude towards him was not the same as before. So the Lord said to him, go back to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. So here he gets the message from God, go back to the land of your fathers. So Jacob had Rachel and Leah called to the field where his flocks were. He said to them, I can see from your father's face that his attitude towards me is not the same as before, but the God of my father has been with me. You know, with all my strength, I have served your father and that he has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times, but God has not let him harm me. If he said, the spotted sheep will be your wages, and all the sheep were born spotted. If he said the streaked sheep will be your wages, and all the sheep were born streaked. God has taken away your father's herds and given them to me.
Mm-hmm.
When the flocks were breeding, I saw in a dream that the streaked, spotted, and speckled males were mating with the females. In that dream, the angel of the Lord said to me, Jacob, and I said, here I am. And he said, look up and see all the males that are mating with the flocks are streaked, spotted, and speckled. For I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. So you see, God saw, God already knew, and God right. saw, and he helped Jacob, you know, so he never abandoned Jacob. Yeah. I am the God of Bethel, where you poured oil on the stone marker and made a solemn vow to me. Get up, leave this land, and return to your native land. Then Rachel and Leah answered him, do we have any portion or inheritance in our father's family? Are we not regarded by him as outsiders? So that, you know, they're realizing that they don't belong to their father anymore. They belong to Jacob.
Right.
For he has sold us and has certainly spent our purchase price. In fact, all the wealth that God has taken away from our father belongs to us and to our children. And they tell Jacob, so do whatever God has said to you. So that's confirmation there that, you know, right. they're saying, yep, do whatever God is saying to do. Let's go. So I thought that was good that they could, even though that was one thing that they could agree on, you know. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So Jacob got up and put all his children and his wife on the camels, and they left. So, but right before they leave, Rachel goes and steals her father's household idols. So that tells us
Rachel.
That's confirmation that where Rachel's heart is, you know.
It's still not, yeah.
Because if she believed it, if and God, right, and God came first for her, she wouldn't have cared about those idols. And
yeah.
I read some commentaries that said, well, maybe she didn't want her dad praying to those idols, but I think then she would have just trashed them or got rid of them. I don't think she would have taken them with her. I'm exactly. thinking that that's telling us where Rachel is as far as idols and all of that, you know, who her gods are also, you know?
Right.
So, and that was another thing that got me thinking. So maybe all this time it was Leah who was spent for Jacob. And not Rachel.
Right.
And Jacob deceived Laban, the Aramean, not telling him that he was fleeing. He fled with all his possessions, crossed the Euphrates, and headed for the hill country of Gilead. So Laban didn't want Jacob to leave. He had told, he tried to convince Jacob to stay, and then Jacob told him he would stay, but then they take off. And they lived several miles apart. So then, you know, Jacob, like in the, you know, out of nowhere, he packs everything up and they leave. So by the time that Laban found out that they left, it was 3 days later. Mm-hmm. So they had a head start. So on the third day, Laban was told that Jacob had fled. So he took his relatives with him, pursued Jacob for 7 days, and overtook him in the hill country of Gilead. But God came to Laban, the Aramean, in a dream at night. Watch yourself, God warned him. Don't say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. So even still, God is protecting Jacob, you know, and I love that. I love how God is there, you know, in all of it. And that I just wish that Jacob would have probably, you know, had he paid. Because if you compare Jacob to David, remember David in the beginning, how close he was with God and how he didn't do anything without God. And it's right. like, man, I think that you see the difference here on where Jacob's making mistakes and where,
that's
you know,
right.
And yeah. where we need to be more like David. I think if we could follow any of them here, I would say that David is the best example.
I agree.
On how he followed God, you know, and how God guided him.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think Jacob, he still has like somewhat of pride, I think.
Yes.
Like, I don't
There's
think
still, like that full devotion. It. That full devotion is not right. there. Because even with Abraham, remember it took years and years and years. He kept getting distracted and you know, he took a lot of detours. Mm-hmm. So unlike David in the beginning, you know, everything that he did and God, I mean, everything was just, God was like giving him all the victories. Yes. Yeah. He didn't do anything without God and no. God gave him all the victories, you know?
Right. But so, I think Jacob, not only with the pride, but I think he had like overconfidence. Like, I don't have to worry about anything because God got my back. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing and know that he's, instead of being humble about it, you know?
Exactly. I mean, yeah, no, now, that's true. That's true.
Until we get further, then we'll see it. Hopefully a change, right? There has to be.
Yeah. So then Laban catches up with Jacob And then he's like, why did you leave? I didn't get to kiss my kids, you know, my daughters and my grandchildren goodbye and all this. Like, if he, it really hurt him that they left without telling him. But it was more that Laban, you know, it was going to hurt Laban. He didn't want Jacob to leave because it was going to hurt him financially, not so much that he cared for Jacob. So,
right.
But then also he was looking for his idols because he knew that they had taken them. So then Laban goes and accuses Jacob. Now you have gone off because you long for your father's family, but why have you stolen my gods? So he accuses Jacob of stealing his gods, but Jacob didn't know that Rachel had taken the idols. So Jacob answered, I was afraid, for I thought you would take your daughters from me by force. So even then that God was talking to Jacob, Jacob still didn't trust God that he fled, you know, secretly.
Right.
Before our relatives point out anything that is yours and take it. Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen the idols. So Laban went into Jacob's tent, Leah's tent, and the tents of two concubines, but he found nothing. When he left Leah's tent, he went into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken Laban's household idols, put them in the saddlebag of the camel, and sat on them. Laban searched the whole tent, but found nothing. So Rachel is still over there scheming, hiding the idols. You know, she could have given them to him.
Right.
And she doesn't. So so then Jacob makes a covenant with Laban. Then Jacob became incensed and brought charges against Laban. What is my crime? He said to Laban. What is my sin that you have pursued me? You've searched all my possessions. Have you found anything of yours? Put it here before my relatives and yours and let them decide between the two of us. I've been with you these 20 years. Your ewes and female goats have not miscarried. I have not eaten the rams from your flock. I did not bring you any of the flock torn by wild beasts. I myself bore the loss. You demanded payment from me from what was stolen by day or by night. So Jacob here goes down the list. Like, I did this, 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 this. And, you know, and then here you are. Then Laban answered Jacob, the daughters are my daughters, the sons my sons, and the flocks my flocks. Everything you see is mine. But what can I do today for these daughters of mine or for the children they have born? Come now, let's make a covenant, you and I. Let it be a witness between the two of us. So Laban is still like, hey, I'm giving you all this stuff. Not that Jacob worked hard for it, but hey, I'm giving you all this stuff. But
right.
So Jacob picked out a stone and set it up as a marker. So here, Jacob, they set up a mound of stones. And they make a covenant there, but a covenant to keep them apart, you know? Oh, it's a covenant to keep them apart. Then Laban said, the mount is a witness between you and me today. Therefore, the place was called Galeed and also Mizpah. For he said, may the Lord watch between you and me when we are out of each other's sight. If you mistreat my daughters or take other wives, though no one is with us, understand that God will be a witness between you and me. Laban also said to Jacob, look at this mount and the marker I have set up between you and me. This mount is a witness that the marker is a witness that I will not pass beyond this mount to you and you will not pass beyond this mount and this marker to do me harm. So it's like it's like a divorce between them two.
Right.
You know? Right. So, you know, out of all of that and 20 years later and it's a divorce between father-in-law and son-in-law. And, you know, here comes Jacob with all his, you know, his two wives and their maids. And I don't even know how many sons he ended up. Yeah. And I don't even know how many sons he ended up with.
Well,
I lost count.
Well, right now I think there's 11 or there should be, right? Because. Well, I guess I should. Well, maybe we're jumping up ahead because I know she does have another son. So that will come later.
Mm-hmm. So so here comes Jacob in this mess. And so what we see here in these three chapters, just how Jacob didn't do well when he left, you know, that he's that all his scheming and all his plans and stuff, how they didn't go well. They haven't gone well. And here God is calling him back now, back to the promised land. So we'll start in the next chapter. he prepares to meet Esau, because as he goes back home, because remember when he left, Esau was trying to kill him.
It was not good. Right.
Yeah. So, right. So I mean, I think that there's a lot of drama here, and that there's, we can see a lot of us in it, you know, and what we see here now in our times is not that much different.
No,
but how, you know, trying to plan and do things apart from God, it's not good. It doesn't bring you anything good. And you can be rich and it's still not, you're not going to be at peace.
It's not going to be happy, because we saw he was with the wives at each other's throats. Who would leave a peaceful life? Even though I think it should have just been Leah and Jacob, like you said, and that's it. You know,
I think that would have been that would have been a whole other
and that they go back,
different story. Yeah, that he should have just accepted, saw what Laban had done, you know, saw that, repent, seeing that, okay, I see I deceived Esau, now I'm being deceived, you know, see that for what it is, and you know, go to God, you know, and repent, and then leave with Leah. But no, instead he has his mindset on Rachel, you know. And I think that's what happens too, when, you know, when we see something we want, and if we don't, you know, we don't discern whether it's the right thing for us or not, and we can get lost. It costed him, you know, another 7 years, and not only that, all this drama, you know.
Jacob could have definitely learned and read Proverbs, and he would have learned about that, wayward women.
Yes. And I think we can see too, where there's several points where he could have made a change and he didn't, you know?
He didn't. Right. And I think all of them too. Leah.
I think all the women. Yeah.
Given their
desperation, you know, the decisions that they make out of desperation, thinking that having more and more sons was going to win Jacob's love. But I think in the end, none of them had Jacob's love, you know?
You're right. I don't think so either. And I think, you know, once they make it back to the promised land, God was probably more in their lives at that point. Well, we know with Jacob for sure. And then we can start seeing if there's peace coming in that family, you know?
Yep.
But then there's always the kids. So
it continues. Well, and that God's in everything, you know, and all of it. And he's in everything and all of it. And if we stop to listen to God, because had he really paid attention to what God was saying to him, then and what God has said to his father and his grandfather, you know, would that have changed things, you know?
Yeah. And then I think it's hard with Jacob's story. We'll see where he has a favorite child too, which again kind of brings you back to his dad favoring one, his mom favoring the other. And so where does it end, you know?
Right. And what can we learn from that for our own families, you know?
Right. Because we know God works sometimes on the parents first and then the kids, or one, you know. So,
well, and I would think that through what Abraham and Sarah went through, and, you know, because God pulled them aside and to start over with them. And then, you know, God really, I think that he spoke a lot through that, you know, and the things that they did wrong. And had that been taught to the next generation, then, you know, where things have been different. But that just goes to show, if we lose sight of what's important and God's plan, then yeah, we start acting, you know, and making choices off the flesh and, you know, our selfish wants and needs. Exactly. And so.
Exactly. I have the closing scripture. I'll be reading from the second book of the Corinthians, chapter 13. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Become mature, be encouraged, be the same mind, be at peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Have a good weekend.
Amen.
Amen.